name's Cynthia Wilson, and this message is for you. This podcast covers micromotivators to encourage you to act because small actions can make a big difference in your life. Welcome to episode 27. Today's message is define your purpose. I am so excited to have my cousin joining me today, Father Clark Steitler. He is a newly ordained priest at St. John Newman in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Welcome, Father Steitler.
All right. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me, Cindy.
Thanks so much for joining us today. So I really wanted to bring you on here to tell us about your calling and your story and how you became a priest. So what first inspired you to pursue the priesthood? And was there a specific moment when you felt God calling you?
Yeah, there certainly was, for sure. You know, for me, everyone's on their own different, you know, kind of faith journey. Everyone hears the Lord at different parts in their lives. For me, it all kind of came out of left field, really. It was very unexpected, an unexpected calling. Because I was working for about 7.5 years before I went to seminary, which is the place where you study and you be formed to be a Catholic priest. So what happened was, is that, you know, I grew up Catholic. My mom and dad gave me that great gift of the Catholic faith. It wasn't until later in life I realized how awesome that gift was. And so, like many people my age, after high school, kind of fell away from the faith, wasn't really practicing. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's not that I didn't believe in God. It was just kind of, I was indifferent, you know, had other priorities. And so it kind of, you know, fell low on the things I was doing at that time in my life. But praise God, I ended up taking a job where I had to end up moving to Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And so I moved there and I felt like drawn back to go back to church, go back to Mass. And so I did that. And it was a good thing. I kind of rediscovered my faith a little bit there. I was probably more mature. The things I was going through in my own life, you know, the faith was like very relevant to it. But the big game changer for me was going back to the sacrament of reconciliation. So it's there where I discovered the Lord's his mercy, his kindness, his forgiveness, his compassion, all those amazing things that I've always heard about, but never kind of really encountered. And that's the whole idea of a sacrament. It's that encounter with Christ. And so he forgave me of all those sins, all those knucklehead things I was doing for about 10 to 12 years. And it was right after that, when I was praying my penance, when priesthood was in my mind and on my heart. And I was very surprised, like big time. I thought it was a message for someone else. So I'm kind of a goof and I'm kind of like looking around being like, you know, this must be for somebody else. But I was the only one sitting in the pews. And I ended up staying for Mass that night. It was Saturday. And I was never so drawn in to what was actually occurring in Mass and to see like what the priest was doing and just everything. And that was the big kind of turning point for me. And then through like a period of about 2 years, you know, I end up kind of learning how to kind of pray a little more, you know, kind of prayer from the heart, praying with scripture. And I always had that feeling of peace when I always asked myself, can I essentially kind of walk away from the things that I was doing in my life, the job I had, my own place. But yeah, that peace was always still there. So that's kind of believe it or not, that's kind of the short version of how all this started, but it's really amazing. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So how did your family and friends react to your decision?
Oh man, a lot of them reacted just like I did. So one was like surprised. Like, really? Like, are you sure about this, you know? But after I had the opportunity, and just like in my own kind of journey, after I prayed about it and reflected about it, they were all very supportive. I was nervous to tell them, right? Because like I said, I had been working for about 7.5 years, and especially my mom and dad were always very like supportive of that in many ways, helping me out through college. And yeah, so I didn't know what everyone's reaction would be. And it's one of those things where the Lord can talk to us using certain people, right? And so many people, and especially the people that knew me well, and my good friends, my good high school buddies who I'm still stay in contact with, they're like, huh, I think I could see that. And I was like, whoa. I was like, okay. I was like, wow, Lord, okay. I kind of see what's going on. And even people that I worked with kind of had said the same thing. So, yeah. Yeah.
And you are a lawyer, right?
That's
In your
right. They're
job?
really, that's right. The rumors are true. Yeah. I was a lawyer here in Pennsylvania for, like I said, I think it was about 7.5 years. And I really loved that job. I had a couple different jobs. I loved the legal profession, what I did. The people I worked with were great. But during this whole process of, I guess, kind of, being knocked out of that spiritual slumber that I was in for a while, was like rediscovering that the Lord has a special, unique plan, special, unique purpose, like for each and every person that the Lord calls you to. It's something I think I knew about a little bit when I was younger, but I never prayed to God about it. And I always kind of think about it like this. I mean, all of us are created by God in his image and likeness, which is amazing. His desire for everyone is what we all desire is happiness. And so the whole idea of being able to get God in on that conversation of what he's calling each and every person to do in their life, it's designed for our happiness. So it's like it's a good thing to do, to be able to do that. And it certainly has brought a lot of peace, a lot of joy, a lot of things that I didn't know were possible. The Lord's given me a lot of good graces, a lot of good strength to be able to live out this life. It's been awesome. So, yeah. And one thing too, I remember during the time period where I was praying about the priesthood, and because what I initially thought is that I want to start a family. I was blessed. I had a great upbringing. I was like, this is fun. This would be fun to have kids. It's this time of year where you'd be taking them to like soccer or like football practice or stuff. And I was like, yeah, I think that kind of that's my track. But again, the Lord has like a special plan for each person. And where I'm at now, I can just see looking back all of that joy that's still kind of there. I remember hearing one priest say, the Lord is not going to send you out on a mission and then abandon you. And that's always stuck with me for like these last several years for sure. So,
So, what was the most challenging part of your journey to ordination?
oh, you know what? Believe it or not, I thought I was too old to do this. Because when I started going back to church, I was about my early 30s, I think. And in my mind, just because I didn't know, I just assumed that, path to priesthood, it's like kind of like going to college. So after high school or during college, that's like kind of the window. But it turns out that that is not the window. And so that was partially that could have been me, making excuses, thinking that, yeah, I'm too old. I also thought too that there's a lot of better people that could do this than me. Like I'm not the holiest person in the world. I'm a sinner. I think there are a lot better people that could do a better job than me. But again, during those 2 years, during that time of prayer, during that time of, learning about the saints, it was an opportunity to be able to, one, to know the Lord's presence in my life, but two, to like trust him more, because trust isn't an easy thing between like people. For me, it takes me a little bit to gain someone's trust or to be able to trust someone. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's the Lord I have been discovering that he wants everyone to know of his presence in their life, and he wants everyone to have that happiness. And so when you're able to, pray, send prayers his way, he's certainly willing to help out for sure.
I think that there is, a lot. That's why I'm doing this whole podcast, right? Is that encourage people when they hear certain messages to act on them. Because there's a lot of times where you can be like, oh, I had this experience and then I did nothing.
And I kind of had that for a little bit because it's almost like you're driving a car and you're stuck in neutral, And it's a little bit scary for sure if you think you're any kind of big decision in life is, but it's part of the adventure, to kind of being able to with the different resources that people have around them through people, family, friends, to be able to kind of, figure out what that looks like in your life. And for me, I guess I'm just an example of, you don't have to get it right away. It can happen later on in life, and that's quite all right. You don't have to know everything right away. John Paul II, I think he once said that life with Christ is a wonderful adventure. I was like, I think he's right about that.
Awesome. So, did you ever doubt the callings? Sounds like maybe a little bit. And if so, how did you overcome it?
Sure. I don't know if doubt is the right word. It could be, but it's the right one, thinking that I'm not good enough to do this. But even like kind of before that, when we talk about, I've talked about like prayer a lot and how I was able to kind of, hear that, hear the voice of the Lord in prayer. That's like a big question. What is the voice of God? What's the voice of the Lord? That's like a huge thing, right? So there's a lot of competition for our attention in this world. There's worldly things, there's our own kind of like human desires and stuff, and then there are things of a divine nature, things of God. And so those maybe doubts or concerns that I initially had, like I had talked to my pastor. So like he was the professional, he knows what prayer is about, and he helped direct me to two things in particular. One is Eucharistic adoration. So for the Catholic faith, we believe that the bread is turned in to the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ at Mass. And there is something called Eucharistic adoration where you pray before the Blessed Sacrament. And so we believe that that is Christ right there present. And so I learned how to kind of pray from the heart at that time. So a lot of the prayers that we learned growing up, the Our Fathers, the Hail Marys, those are beautiful, great, great prayers. Those help get our hearts disposed to pray. But I learned more about this other kind of prayer. It's just, meditation, contemplation, and kind of praying from the heart. So those worries, those anxieties, those fears that I had, like, Lord, I think you might be calling me to at least consider, think about being a priest. So I brought those to him in prayer. He knows what's on my heart. And so I figured I might as well talk to him through that way. And then a big thing, we can hear the voice of God by reading scripture, right? Especially the gospels. And that's when you read certain passages and it really resonates like in your heart. I heard it once described as almost like kind of like a guitar, guitar strings like on your heart. So the Lord can kind of strum like a little bit. And that gets something going, like kind of in your heart. And you're like, oh. And so, it's the voice of the Lord too, when it's accompanied with peace, patience, joy, those gifts of the Holy Spirit that we talk about. So that's always a good sign. And I remember too, one thing that was very helpful, the beautiful thing about the faith is that The time that we live in right now is awesome because we have the benefit of 2,000 years of saints praying about the faith, learning about the faith, kind of like struggling with it and getting through it. And we have all those great resources and all these great like stories that help like inspire us. And so the priest who really helped me out in my discernment at the early stages, he gave me this book. And I remember looking down at the book. The title was With God in Russia. And then I read the subtitle of it. And it said, My Story in a Soviet Prison Camp for 23 Years. Something like that. I was like, huh, why? I don't think I want to read about this. This doesn't sound like fun at all, you know? Like, serious. But it was a story of a Pennsylvania guy, Pennsylvania priest named Father Walter Chiswick. And it's all about God's plan. They call it like divine providence. And so that he is involved in our lives. And it was a lot about like kind of trust. Despite the fact where this guy, by worldly standards, this guy had no reason to be joyful, no reason to be trusting. In fact, the world would say that that's a good reason to think that God doesn't even exist if this kind of evil can happen. But it was an amazing thing. I'd recommend if anyone is kind of wondering about what that looks like, he has another good book too. It's called He Leadeth Me.
So, what was the most transformative lesson you learned in the seminary?
Oh, I can't do any of this by myself. No, not at all. Not at all. I used to be, and still am. I can still be prideful at sometimes, or not like in a terrible way, but thinking, oh, I can do this all on my own. I can do it all by myself. Like, I don't want any help. Like, I'm a man. I can take care of this, But especially, it's like in two ways. The transformative part, just in my spiritual life, and even like before spiritual life. So, seminary trains you not only to know about the things of the faith, the things of religion, it helps train you to live that life of virtue, right? And so virtue are all those good things that when we live that life, it again creates that happiness in there. So you just think of the virtues of, charity, hope, faith, all those other good virtues. You talked at the beginning about courage, fortitude. Those are great virtues to have. And so you're able to, one, kind of know a little more about those virtues, that virtuous life, and then to try to like live it out. But then you can't live it out on your own. So that's where prayer like kind of really kicks in. And you ask God for those graces, those strengths, those helps to be able to almost kind of like what we were saying, the car is like sometimes stuck in neutral. To have that like resolve to, because you got to act. So virtue is all about human actions. We have choices to act every single day, every second. There's always choices in front of us. So the whole idea of virtue is making those good choices, and acknowledging too that your choices affect people, and so you want to make those good choices that are uplifting, that affect people in a positive way. Because it's like a team, I always talk to a lot of people about a lot of my experience growing up. I played a lot of team sports. So I'm sure you probably remember when we had like, when we had those family picnics in the summers and stuff. It was like all of us out there. So it's like, wiffle ball, basketball, whatever. So I, kind of grew up in that experience. And the beautiful thing about team sports is that you gather people that all different kinds of backgrounds, all different growings up, where they're from, who they are, all that stuff. But they come together for a specific goal. And the goal in like a team sport, obviously, to like kind of to win the game. And I've oftentimes have used that and kind of see that very similar is the idea of the church. You get people all sorts of backgrounds that otherwise would not be hanging out together, but God brings us together. And the ultimate goal is to get everyone to heaven. We're just kind of traveling along here on this earth, and we want to get to that final goal of heaven, bring everyone with us, like scratching and clawing, pull them, drag them there to get them, and just to know that again, that's that place of eternity. It's that place of happiness, you know. So yeah.
You had mentioned, like charity and doing things. And I remember from one of our previous conversations that you talked about volunteering and how that had an impact on you. Can you speak a little bit more about that?
Yeah, no, that's an awesome question, and it absolutely did. And I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, so if we were at the part of the story where I felt called, and this is kind of the beginning of that calling. And again, I think that that same priest and a couple other people I met, they encouraged me to, see if there's any volunteer work that you can do to be able to, help serve others. So, again, that was something I really didn't do that much, but I said, okay, I'm kind of serious about this, so we'll see what happens. So started off, a local food pantry, just being there. Like, it was actually right around this time, Saturday mornings. I'm sure they're doing it right now out in Carlisle, where you help set up the food, you help hand out the food, take stuff to people's cars and stuff like that. It's very joyful. Again, that idea of like teamwork and people helping each other out, There was another opportunity that someone had encouraged me to do, and that was working at a homeless shelter. So, I mean, homeless, that's definitely an issue in a lot of mostly every area, really. And so I was an overnight shelter volunteer. So what that means is that you just, you sleep with the folks that are there, sign them in, then sign them out, make sure everything's all right, especially during like the winter time now as it gets colder. And so just kind of help out there. And two, helping out with other activities like in the church, right? And so it really began to stretch my heart, because at that point, again, it's just things that I've learned, and I always was kind of, looking out for numero uno, looking out for myself. And not that there's anything completely wrong with that, because you got to have that sense of, knowing what you're about and having a good plan. But when you serve others, you learn way more about yourself. And I think that's part of the reason why we're all put here on this planet too. We're called to serve each other in a special, unique way that only I can, that only you can, in with the people that we know, right? So that idea of self-sacrifice shows us what love looks like. And ultimately, you may see where I'm going with this. This is what Christ did for humanity. He gave himself up for each and every one of us so that we could have a shot at heaven. And I think deep down, like especially as human beings, is that that's what we kind of desire, that too, to give of ourselves to others. That's like a beautiful thing about marriage. Not only, the husband and wife, they live for each other, but for their kids too. I mean, that self-sacrificial aspect to them. So, right. I mean, I'm sure all parents know this. They're not necessarily living for themselves, it's for their kid. It's a beautiful thing, really. And so that idea of kind of service. And I think that fulfills a certain thing that sometimes our hearts are very restless about stuff. So that's one of my favorite quotes, Saint Augustine. And he famously had said, we were, made to know God, to love him and to serve him, and especially to glorify him. But he said that our hearts are restless until they rest in you, God. And that resonates a lot with me, in particular during those 10 to 12 years when God wasn't in my life, I mean, he was, but I didn't notice it,
Sure.
So, yeah.
How did the seminary shape your personal understanding of faith?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a very good question. I think one, I'll go back to the idea of teamwork, knowing that faith is, it's with people, it's with others, it's with people of the church. My own faith was strengthened big time, one by being around with a group of people that all have that one kind of similar goal, you know? So seeing the guys in the chapel in the morning at like 5:30 before we get our day started, always very encouraging to see that. Knowing that the Lord is able to kind of help us out on that journey of faith, that everyone's like at a different spot. And so that helped kind of clear the air of any, you know, kind of comparison and stuff. So that was good. And yeah, the idea of almost faith in general, what it kind of boils down to, and it's a little bit kind of what we were talking about before, is that we had this guy 2,000 years ago, this carpenter from Nazareth, teaching and saying all this stuff about himself. And then essentially, by the actions that he did, the miracles he performed, and saying that he's the Son of God, right? And so if you look at that, that's like certain testimony. So he proposed that to the people at that time for them to believe, you know, believe this or not. It's again, it's back to this idea of like choices, you know? And so then you think, huh, okay, this guy's saying this. Okay, maybe I'll kind of try to get to know him a little more because some of this stuff makes sense, what he's saying. And then the idea of having that faith, it's trust in a person. So for all those who may be struggling with their faith or when it's weak, and again, I know this because I went through it. Start at the basics. Start with Jesus Christ, what he says. And that is the good first step. And that's kind of part of what you do in seminary. It's through that prayer life that you get to know the Lord better. You get to know him through scripture. You get to know him through prayer. And you get to know him too, most importantly, in those sacraments, what we had talked about earlier, those like encounters with Christ. He gave us those sacraments because we like want to know that he's still present in humanity in his life, and he knows how we learn the best, and he knows what we need to like be able to see like as humans, because in the idea of the sacrament is that we're able to have that encounter and to be able to have that reassurance and trust in the Lord. And so, you know, being able to be at Mass every day definitely strengthened and continues to strengthen my faith each and every day.
What surprised you most about the training that you went through?
You know what? I thought it would just be the idea of like studying, like at college. Again, before I went in the seminary, but when I started kind of understanding, okay, what goes on in that formation, there's actually four separate things that you concentrate on, right? And so you have the intellectual piece. And so intellectual, that's like the book learning and like what's been going on at the church. Then you have the spiritual, which is what we talked about, right? And so that's kind of how do I pray? What does prayer look like? And kind of looking at stuff with the saints and things like that. And sacraments too, which we talked about. So here are the other two dimensions that they focus on. I was surprised by it, but it's a good way. It makes complete sense when you think about it. There is something called human formation, right? And so that is how can I be a better person, you know? And so when we talked about this idea of like virtue, you can pray really well, you can know all the stuff that you need to know, but if you're not striving to live that good, virtuous life, then that's a problem. Because we were, especially for men studying to be a priest, because you need to be that like light to the world. So having that time, that opportunity, to be able to work on areas that you need to work on. And it could be simple as like, you know, like scheduling stuff, being organized, stuff like that. And it's helpful because we have at seminary, you have a, they call it like a formator. So think of it like a coach. You meet with them usually every couple weeks. You set up like certain goals that you want to accomplish, and he helps you like achieve those and helps find areas that might be helpful. So that's human formation. The last thing's pastoral formation. That's could be one of the most important. All of them are very important, but this is extremely important because when you go through this, it's being able to recognize that people are coming from every different set of circumstances in life. That when I meet someone later this afternoon, I don't know what they've gone through. So you have to be like sensitive to that kind of stuff. You can think of it a little bit like the good novel To Kill a Mockingbird, one of my favorite books. And one of the most famous lines by Atticus Finch, he's one of the main characters in there. He says, "You don't really know anyone till you're walking around in their shoes for a while, you know?" And so knowing that you're going to meet people at different times in their life, they're going through a lot of difficult things, not to be like have any rash judgments, but to be able to listen and to be able to bring that true, good, beautiful message of the gospel to them in whatever way that looks like in that particular situation, so that they can leave that conversation feeling uplifted. Those things earlier that we talked about when we hear the voice of God, those things of joy, those things of peace. And you can still have joy and peace even amidst like suffering, even amidst times when we're not, you know, going through something really rough. But again, that's the idea of knowing that the Lord's present. And so that pastoral piece is very important. And they actually send us out to work on that one day a week at seminary. So each year you concentrate on something different. So one year I went out to a grade school to teach kindergarten through eighth grade. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. Another year you go visit hospitals or the local nursing facilities. You do that. And some guys, it doesn't always work, but some guys are able to go visit into the prisons too. And just to be able to be present and to minister to the folks that are in those situations. So,
That's awesome. Thanks.
Yep.
What has been the most rewarding spiritual experience in your journey so far?
Two things come to mind. The first thing is just every opportunity that I have to be able to be the Lord's instrument to bring that mercy, that love, that compassion in the sacrament of reconciliation. It's incredible. It's literally life-changing. It is life-changing. I know one from experience that it is because I had that we'll call it a drought since I've been there. But just knowing that, and I don't know if a lot of people know this or not. I think we do, but it's always worth mentioning that like God's mercy is so much bigger, so much larger than any sin, than any sin. So anything that we do, any sin where we fall, if we approach with a humble and contrite heart, the Lord's going to forgive it. And it's amazing. It's so freeing. And to know that that occurs in that sacrament is awesome. I know in scripture it says somewhere that, you know, when one repentant sinner comes back, all of heaven rejoices and like sings. And that's like amazing thing to think about. The other thing, a little more personal, was that opportunity to celebrate my first Mass, because that, I mean, that's the high point of as what we can do as human beings, is to be able to be at Mass on Sunday, to remember all that great stuff that Christ did for us, and knowing that He is still present with us. And He gives us the strength to be able to kind of get through life, whatever part of life that we're in. And so again, I think those spiritual things would go back to kind of that sacramental life, and just so many other things that I wouldn't even be able to count. And I've only been doing this for, it's about 4 months. 4 months as of October 7th, is when I got ordained. And I remember how joyful that was. Everyone there is a lot of fun. And that was also too, that it's like each mass is a little slice of heaven, and it's always a good thing.
So, what do you hope to inspire in those who attend your services?
I would hope that everyone that's at any service or any mass or anything that's there, I would just hope that they would have open hearts to be able to, kind of listen to the Lord, to see the Lord's presence, knowing too that like you're not alone. You're not alone. The whole idea of Mass, the whole idea of, again, those sacraments, is that the Lord is with us. And not only like in the good times when we have like the Thanksgivings, the joys and everything. I mean, he's with us and he wants us to know that he is with us in those sufferings and those anxieties and those worries. It's like the good, the bad, and the ugly. He wants it all, which is a beautiful thing. And in a way, it makes sense, because when we speak of our faith, the suffering and death of Christ was not the end. It was actually the beginning, and it was the most amazing accomplishment, because 3 days later he rose from the dead. So you have to go through those sufferings. It brings you closer to the cross, and just that people would know that the Lord would help inspire them to know right of his presence, especially in a world where sometimes it looks like he's not present to some people. But that's not the case. That's certainly not the case. There's a lot of other competing factors, for sure.
I can add a personal example there. Between my two kids, I had a miscarriage, and I had emergency surgery because it was ectopic. And I envisioned myself giving the baby back to God. And I had a dream beforehand that the child was taken away and given a different name. So I felt prepared a little bit in that way. I knew that that was what was supposed to happen. And it still didn't make it any easier. That's certainly a tough thing to go through for any parent, and it's a lot more common than people talk about. But it is just a challenging thing to, okay, this is what has to happen, and just have faith in that. So, what would you say to your younger self before beginning this journey?
Oh man, that is a great question. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. I think I would say, trust the people that are around you. And I would say too, like, embrace it. When you're at that point in your life where there are like certain opportunities, or you kind of think where you're going, whether it's with a job, whether it's with a relationship, yeah, have, in a good way, have fun. We're meant to have that joy-filled life. And I think too, there are certain people, I can think of certain of my high school buddies, certain relatives, certain friends. I'm sure you're the same way, that when they're like in a room, like something happens. It's like more, it's like positive. That's enthusiastic, not like overly enthusiastic, but it's like, oh yeah, he's here. This will be good to hang out, And so when we have, I guess the sense of adventure, you know? Yeah, when you hear adventure, people are like, yeah, like I'm ready. Let's do it. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. How would you define your success as a priest?
If after every conversation or encounter that I have with someone, if they are even just a tiny bit closer to Jesus Christ, then that is very, very successful in my eyes. Yeah, because it's not, it's faith. Faith is it's gradual, it's a process. And again, just trusting in the Lord. And it's like one of those things. I don't, you know, you may have had this experience when you're younger, or maybe with some of your kids when they, you know, have like a new friend at school or something. They're like, oh, mom. Oh, you're gonna love to meet this person. You know, they're so cool, like this, that. Oh man, this is gonna be great. You're gonna love to meet them. And so that's kind of in a different way. It's kind of like, yeah, like you guys need to meet this person. Like it's gonna be life changing. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, give it a try, you know, kind of something like that. So
Great. What advice would you give someone discerning their own religious vocation?
I would suggest I would advise them to pray, you know, continue to pray. And when I say that in particular, it's helpful, you know, you can bring the specific that specific request or specific advice or just asking for help. And that's a beautiful prayer, that prayer from the heart. I think we talked about before, like I was very surprised. Again, like out of left field, that I thought I was being called to this. And so from my heart, I was like, Lord, this doesn't make any sense. I'm confused. I think there's better people. Like what gives? Help me see, help me understand what you're trying to tell me. And that kind of prayer is so effective. That prayer from the heart. The second thing that I would, and I guess it's kind of related, pray especially to our Blessed Mother. She's incredible. I wouldn't be here without her intercession, without her guidance. She's such a good mother in so many ways that we need it. So being able to, you know, start praying to her specifically, you know, pray the rosary. And if you're just starting, just start. You don't have to go the full 5 decades right away. You can build up to that would be the goal. So, you know, start with 10. You can kind of meditate on a specific mystery. One in my own journey that I always found helpful was the Annunciation, because that was Our Lady's, that was her call. She received her call in prayer. And just that conversation that she has with the angel Gabriel is well worth praying with. So yeah, so prayer and definitely fostering that devotion, that veneration to Our Lady. And if you have the opportunity to pray, go to Eucharistic adoration. Yeah. And don't worry if you don't like feel that anything like kind of happened there. The Lord has the ability to work our hearts and we don't even notice it. So just spending time with our Lord is huge. Yeah.
Do you have any final words of wisdom for our audience here in defining their purpose?
Yeah, I can. I was told a couple months ago. I didn't verify it, but I'm assuming it's true, and it kind of checks out. That one of the words or phrases that Jesus says most often in the gospel is be not afraid or take courage. So that's what I'd leave everyone with, those beautiful words by our Lord. Be not afraid, take courage. The Lord has a special, unique plan for everyone. And yeah, get God in on the conversation. No matter how old, how young you are. The Lord always calls us to something special in each day. And yeah, be not afraid, and especially know that God is with you too. That makes all the difference. He promised a lot of things in the gospel, but he never promised that life would be easy. He never promised that life would be stress-free. He never promised that there wouldn't be any suffering, but he did promise that he would be with us until the end of the age. And that is worth all of it. I'll take that one for sure.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. And so for everyone here, define your purpose and remember, this message is for you.